It's The Record on KUOW. Thanks for tuning in.
I feel a sin coming on. I feel a wrath that's about to go wrong. I got a shiver down to the bone. I feel a seeing coming on.
There's a story behind that song. Well, the song is by the Pistol Annies, but right now it's being used in a Seattle burlesque show. And that story is about sexuality and colonization. And here to tell you the story is Professor Kim Tallbear. She's an associate professor at the University of Alberta's Faculty of Native Studies. Her work touches on social science, genomics, environmental policy, and decolonized indigenous sexuality. We'll explain. Welcome, Kim. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me on.
You're in Seattle hosting this burlesque show called Sexy Science Confessions. It's at Kane Hall, University of Washington, tomorrow night, 7:30. How did this show come to be?
Well, this particular show is especially themed around science because I am on the faculty of the Summer Internship for Indigenous Peoples in Genomics, or SING, and we do a week-long summer training program for aspiring Indigenous scientists every summer, and we move around to different universities in the country. And I've been doing that since 2011, but then I started doing the sexuality research, and we were talking at last year's workshop, and we said, hey, let's bring those two things together. And so we decided to do the show at this year's workshop.
Yes. What does science have to do with sexuality and burlesque in this show?
Well, you know, science and sexuality have both been central to colonialism. So a lot of what this workshop does is not only teach basic science, but we also contextualize genomics and biology within the colonial project. So how have studies of race on Indigenous people, Black people, and other people been central to building up these research fields and institutions? A lot of people don't know that genetics research institutes were often, before World War II, eugenics research institutes. And then, of course, when World War II happened, scientists really started to think much more critically about their use and study of race. I have learned in my work that I can bring a lot of those lessons studying race and genomics into studying science and sex and colonialism. So, for example, Indigenous people, like other people of color, have been hypersexualized. Our sexualities and our bodies have been seen as deviant. So whether a biologist is studying them or whether a sexual researcher is studying them, we have been portrayed historically as these less evolved kind of deviant people.
Well, you said a bit, everyone doesn't, maybe not know as much as you do about it. Hypersexualized and deviant. Oh. What do you mean?
Well, hypersexualized means like we're especially sexual. And of course, sex gets treated as this thing that's supposed to be private and whispered about and kept secret, right? And a lot of what we try to do in our show to counteract that history is to be very open about sexuality and to talk about consensual, good, pleasurable, positive sexuality. So it's not just this stigmatized, secret, private thing.
What was behind that distortion, that picture?
Well,
deviant picture.
Well, I think histories of racial hierarchies have included not only putting races into hierarchies according to intelligence, but also according to what their sexual practices were. And so you had at the turn of the 20th century, the United States, whether it's scientists, the church, or the federal government, really enforcing compulsory monogamy. We know a lot of Indigenous people come from non-monogamous peoples historically. They were enforcing state-sanctioned marriage. This is all tied up with private property. So sexuality and private property all kind of come as a bundle in the way that colonialism happened. And so there's a lot of us historians, anthropologists, Indigenous studies scholars who look at these histories. And what we're doing is trying to bring some of the lessons of those histories combined with performance to the stage to teach people about having fun, positive sexuality. And that does kind of work to help us move away from those dominant racial narratives about bad sex, right?
Yes. And without giving the show away, but to draw us in, we say more about what happens on stage.
Well, we're not just a burlesque show. We do usually have a burlesque performance. We're originally a sexy storytelling show. So we have people who do stories, spoken word. We've had a stand-up comedy meets an academic lecture, and then we have burlesque generally. And so this week, I think we've got one performer slash lecture slash burlesque dancer, and then we've got several storytellers or poets.
Okay. And what's the vibe like at the show? If I come to the show, it's going to be like what?
Well, it's mostly really fun. Like, you'll leave with your cheeks hurting. You're laughing so much. You'll hear hooting and hollering because we have some very salacious confessions. The audience submits their own confessions to our condom fairies who circulate throughout the audience and get your confessions cards and then hand out condoms and lubricant.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the confessions get read on stage between the performances, it's a whole lot of fun. Sometimes we get a confession and a performance that's not just funny or titillating, but it could be quite moving because Indigenous people, like a lot of people, are overcoming sexual trauma, right? We're in this Me Too moment where people are talking a lot about consent and overcoming bad sexual experiences. So sometimes you'll get somebody who will talk about overcoming trauma, and it's a really moving moment. I've had to stop myself from tearing up sometimes when I've read those confessions. But it's positive in that people say, look, I've come to a place of positive sexuality after trauma, and this is an amazing development for me.
How do your performers push back against this? We called it colonized sexuality. I played a little bit of music earlier on. Maybe you can tell us about what's happening there?
What that performance was like? So that's not going to happen this time. That performance happened at our Vancouver show at the Chan Center last year. One of my graduate students at the University of Alberta is a PhD student. She works both in Native Studies and in Literature. And she did a piece. She's also a country music singer, gorgeous voice. Her name is Brittany Johnson. And she co-founded with another one of our grad students, the Beaver Hills Burlesque Collective. And Beaver Hills is the English translation of the Cree name for Edmonton. So she did this piece to I Feel a Sin Coming On. And what she did was combine literature with burlesque. So there was a big controversy across Canada last year. A very famous fiction writer named Joseph Boyden, who was the darling of Indigenous literature in Canada, he got outed as having fabricated his Indigenous ancestry. He's a white guy. So he wrote this book called The Arenda, which was this prize-winning novel in Canada. A lot of people in Lit know The Arenda. So Brittany came on stage and she was dressed in this very puritanical kind of outfit, a high-necked white shirt and a long black skirt. And she started stripping down while she was reading the Bible because she heard this I Hear a Sin Coming On song, and she starts getting all hot and bothered and starts stripping down. You think she's reading the Bible, but at the end of the striptease, it's actually The Arenda. And she picks it up and she rips it in half. And so it's sort of like an Indigenous reclamation of Indigenous voice, because he was getting a lot of grief for kind of posing as an Indigenous person and speaking to Indigenous issues. So you kind of have to know the literature politics, but everybody in Canada knew this last year.
Oh, yeah.
So it was, yeah, people were screaming when they saw the end of this performance in the audience.
Is there a moving or a boundary breaking performance you've seen at this show that even changed you?
Yeah, you know, and I'm not sure all of the audience reacted this way to this one, but also in Vancouver, we had several burlesque dancers come from Virago Nation, which is an Indigenous burlesque troupe in Vancouver. And there was one of the dancers, she goes by the name Mother Girth. And she had this very sexy, sequiny, revealing dress on, but she brought on powwow music and started dancing like a men's fancy dancer to this powwow music. And the difference between men's and women's fancy dance is the women's is much more your legs are closed, your skirt's long. It's very athletic, but it's a lot more proper. Men's fancy dance is you spread your legs a lot, you get down on the ground. It's very, very athletic. And she started dancing like a man in this, and it was just, it's really amazing. You know, and at the powwow, when men's fancy is the last event of the night, it'll happen at midnight, the crowd's up and cheering, and that's what was happening at this burlesque performance, but you don't see women doing it. And I really felt like she was bending gender there. She was pushing back against how women's bodies are supposed to move and what's proper for women's bodies. It was just, again, very moving for me, as well as exciting and interesting. I felt kind of teared up almost.
And when people are walking away together from your show, what are you hoping they're taking away?
Well, I've actually heard in our parent show in Austin, Texas, Bedpost Confession says the same thing. That's a non-Indigenous version of what we do. They say that, like, couples, people that are, you know, in relationships will come away saying, we went home and we had a really open conversation about our sex life and about our relationship. And so I hope that people will leave in a way where they feel a little bit healed or more open to sexuality, a place of moving away from shame, you know. And it's not that privacy is always a bad thing, but oftentimes we want to keep sex private because we almost feel implicitly like it's a shameful thing that should be kept quiet. And I want us to get to the point where we can speak more openly about positive, pleasurable sexuality.
This is Dr. Kim Tallbear, and she is a faculty member at the Summer Internship for Indigenous Peoples in Genomics, an annual training program that'll be going out with a bang tomorrow night.
Thank you. This
event is called Sexy Science Confessions, and as you heard, it's stories, it's spoken words, sometimes it's stand-up comedy meets academic lecture, it's science, and it's all happening at 7:30 tomorrow night. That's August 27th, tomorrow, Kane Hall, University of Washington. Dr. Tallbear, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming to KOW.
Thank you for having me on.